The potential to undermine all our developments, and indeed the gains that we have attained, particularly since the advent of our democracy. The South African government is alive to the threat of climate change and has already commenced to implement our commitments, and our commitments, I mean the commitments that were made through our President Jacob Zuma, when he spoke in Copenhagen 2 years ago, in illustrating and actually alluding to how, as South Africa, we are going to play our part in ensuring that we respond to the lowering of the carbon emissions in the space, but also contribute towards a low carbon future. The science is clear, ladies and gentlemen, that action to address the causes and impacts of climate change by a single country or a small group of countries will not be successful. And this is a global problem requiring a global solution through the concerted efforts, through cooperative efforts by all our countries of the world, we'd like to believe. And should multilateral international action not effectively limit the average global temperature increase to below 2 degrees, we believe that actually should be, and also above the pre-industrial level, the potential impacts on South Africa in the medium to long term are indeed significant. And our commitment in addressing the serious challenge of climate change is evident by the development and recent approval of the National Climate Change Response Policy, which I hope many of you, if not all of you, would have read. And South Africa has now a clear roadmap through this policy, ladies and gentlemen, of how ourselves as a nation, as a responsible government and a responsive government to the needs of our people, and indeed a responsible global citizen, will respond to the global challenge of climate change. Our policy will guide government's approach to climate change impacts and our transition to a climate resilient and low carbon economy, premised on our commitment to sustainable development and a better life for all our people. It also aims to ensure that all sectors of our South African society take part in the effort to mainstream climate resilient development. South Africa has already committed internationally to implement nationally appropriate mitigation actions, which collectively will result in the reduction of emissions by 34% relative to our business as usual trajectory by 2020 and by 42% in 2025. And this level of effort will enable our greenhouse gas emission to peak between 2020 and 2025, but also plateau from approximately a decade and reduce in absolute terms thereafter. The extent to which this outcome is achieved, ladies and gentlemen, depends on the extent to which developed countries meet their legal obligations to provide financial capacity building, technology development, and transfer support through the United Nations climate change regime. And the development of our policy took cognizance of these commitments as well. This policy of South Africa embodies commitment to a fair contribution to the stabilization of global greenhouse gas concentrations in the atmosphere and the protection of our country and the people from the impacts of unavoidable impacts of climate change. Now, in terms of the National Climate Change Policy, that includes a risk-based process to identify and prioritize short and medium-term adaptation interventions to be addressed by sector plans, as we have identified those sectors around agriculture, and those sectors are very specifically outlined in that policy framework. The process will also identify the adaptation response that require coordination between sectors and departments, and it will be reviewed every 5 years, because we do believe that no policy is stagnant. We need to look at where we could actually be making mistakes, where things are not going the right direction. And for the immediate future, sectors that need particular attentions are like water, agriculture and forestry, health, biodiversity and human settlements, and resilient to climate variability and climate change related extreme weather events will also be the basis for South Africa's future approach to disaster management, and we will use region-wide approaches where appropriate. The promotion and expansion of the green economy in South Africa is imperative as we transit to a climate resilient and low carbon economy and society. And the National Climate Change Response also aims to promote investment in human and productive resources that will grow our green economy. To this end, ladies and gentlemen, the National Green Economy Accord was signed recently in Pretoria, and the accord signed between all segments of the green economy supports the migration to a lower carbon economy whilst addressing the need for job creation and enterprise development. My colleague is a steward of driving that accord, as well as the growth path, a broader strategy for development, but also the green economy strategy. And as part of our core program, we have proactively engaged with the domestic stakeholders to develop South Africa's national position on policy. And on this basis, which we engage with the African continent and other negotiating colleagues, such as the basic countries, that's Brazil, India, China, and ourselves, obviously South Africa within that group, it was on this basis that we engaged. South Africa recognizes that the success of COP17 is dependent on whether a balance can be struck along these primary areas of work, and the balance is between, or must be achieved between, operationalization of the Cancun decisions and addressing pending issues from Bali that have not yet been finalized. And adaptation should be also at the center of the deal in ensuring that there is a process for concrete implementation of adaptation activities, and noting that adaptation needs and costs depend on emission reduction ambition. In addition, the balance must be achieved in how we deal with the Convention and the Kyoto Protocol, and a comprehensive balanced advancement of all elements that will comprise the future climate change regime, including setting up processes to clarify the legal form of such a regime under the Convention. We do believe that these four things, if what were to be achieved in here in Durban, will really have gone a whole long way, including ensuring that we attain or decide on the Green Climate Fund. I mean, I'd like to emphasize that, because that's actually part of the Cancun decisions, the decisions that were taken in Cancun. We don't need to go back and review any. We have worked hard throughout the year as parties. We do believe that that matter should be concluded here, so that we do continue to now find sources of funds instead of just talking about and around the modalities. COP17 must provide the opportunity for South Africa and the African continent at large to ensure that climate change and the associated changes in climate patterns do not threaten development. And for Africa, the success of the climate change talks is central, since it is projected that by 2080, ladies and gentlemen, about 70 million and up to 30% of Africa's coastal infrastructure could face the risk of coastal flooding because of the sea level rise. South Africa, indeed, carrying the aspirations of Africa and the parties that hope to succeed in getting the second commitment period of the protocol as part of our future climate regime, we say, yes, let's work hard here in Durban to achieve a second commitment period in particular of the protocol, but also the balance between the two tracks. The outcome of the COP17 must ensure that all countries acknowledge the effects of climate change on the planet, on our people throughout the planet, and also on our economies, and ensuring that those impacts are not ignored, and that we all have a responsibility to save the globe for the future generations. I thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Minister. Without any further ado, I'm going to invite Minister Patel to come and talk to us about the Green Economy Accord.
Thank you very much, Mr. Manye, colleague.